Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, as you just heard, my name's Andrew. I'm not Andrew the pastor here, but I am Andrew. And I'm on the leadership team here, so it's very lovely to see you all. Before we delve into God's word, I'm going to invite Tim to join me up the front here, and he's going to read the passage from Luke for us. So over to Tim. Yeah.
Hello. Right.
That's going to cause me a problem later.
Yeah. This is made for short people. All right. Today's reading is from Luke chapter 24, verse 36 to 52. So feel free to read along on the screen or in your own Bible. Right. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do you raise doubts in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy.
Thanks, David. Cheers, that's fine. Perfect. And there's also another verse, which obviously intentionally I left off from the end. It would be wrong to spend 8 years going through the Gospel of Luke and then miss out the very last verse, wouldn't it? The last verse then says, "And they stayed continually at the temple praising God," which is obviously a really crucial verse as well at the same time. So good job. It was a little test actually for Tim to see if he was going to throw it in or not, but he didn't, so... Yeah. In June 2001, on a small farm in Staffordshire, England, a 10-year-old girl named Laura Buxton was celebrating her grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary. At one point, urged by her grandfather, Buxton wrote a note, "Please return to Laura Buxton," along with her address on a small card. She attached the card to a gold balloon and released it in the sky. As the balloon rose high above the party, Buxton's grandfather patted her on the back and said, "Maybe, if you're lucky, it won't get stuck in a tree somewhere." Well, 2 days later, and 140 miles away, a farmer was checking on his cattle in a field and he came across a deflated balloon in his neighbour's hedge. He was about to discard it as rubbish when he noticed the note. His neighbours had a daughter named Laura, so he passed it on to them. The girl the farmer gave the balloon to was also named Laura Buxton and was also just shy of 10 years old, but she was an entirely different girl. When she received the balloon, she wrote a letter to the Laura Buxton who had sent it, explaining that she also was Laura Buxton. After some ensuing confusion and parental skepticism, the two plan to meet up. A three-hour drive apart, the two Laura Buxtons not only shared the same name, but were nearly the exact same age and were also the same height, which was unusual considering they were both well above average for their age. They had brown pigtails and blue eyes, were in year five in primary school. In a later interview, the girls recalled the astonishing similarities that arose as they spoke for the first time. They both had three-year-old black Labradors, grey rabbits, and guinea pigs with identical markings, orange spots on their hind legs. Upon meeting, they unintentionally chose to wear identical outfits, a pink sweater and jeans. You couldn't make it up. Actually, Andrew said that last week, for those of you who are here, you couldn't make it up. You wouldn't make it up. Not this story in particular, but he was referring to the whole gospel story. We've spent 8 years journeying through. 8 years, that's a long time, isn't it? Going through the Gospel of Luke, and you couldn't make it up, could you? It's not a story that you could just pluck out of the sky. You certainly wouldn't give your life up for a lie. For the disciples, that their friend and rabbi, whom they had walked with for 3 years, had died, come back to life again, talked and ate with them, and then left. And not only did they have all this story, but they wrote it down. They shared their story. We've got thousands of early manuscripts of the Gospel of Luke. They not only shared it, they wanted to spread it as far and wide as quickly as possible. Surely they'd be exposed as frauds if this were a lie. But the good news spread. And 2,000 years later, that same story has been passed down to us. That same truth that we live with today. God came to earth. Unbelievable, but true. However, one thing we know about the resurrection. Sorry, let me repeat that. However, it is one thing to know about the resurrection, but it's another thing to be confronted by the risen Jesus himself, to walk with Jesus. It's another thing to respond to this message that we've got. It's great that Luke recorded this incredible story. It's great that we can read stories of what Jesus did and how he lived, but the question really remains, how do we respond to it? In Luke 24, we find the disciples hiding behind locked doors. They've heard the reports from the women who went to the tomb. They've heard from Peter. They've even spoken to the two on the road to Emmaus, but still they are full of fear, doubt, and confusion. And then suddenly Jesus, behind locked doors, Jesus stands among them. He doesn't give them a lecture, but he gives them more of an examination. And in these verses, Jesus asks three silent questions relevant to every person in this room today, as well as the disciples 2,000 years ago. Whether you're a skeptic, a new believer, or you've been a Christian for many years, Jesus is looking at you and asking, have you walked with me? A journey of experience. Have you walked with me? Do you believe in me, the anchor of trust? And are you responding to me, the mission of action? I want us to look at how the disciples answered these three questions and unpack what that might look like for us today. So firstly, have you walked with Jesus? 8 years ago, not only did we start exploring the Gospel of Luke, but I actually had the pleasure of going to Israel. And you know, I clearly remember walking through Jerusalem and thinking, you know, these are the very stones that Jesus walked on. This is the very place where Jesus actually was. And like anyone who's been there, and I'm sure you could imagine, even if you haven't, I was completely blown away. It was incredible. I went to the Garden of Gethsemane. I walked the Via della Rosa. I don't know if you know of the Via della Rosa, but the Via della Rosa, many people think, is the walk that Jesus would have taken before he was hung on the cross. And on that walk, on that journey that you can go on through Jerusalem, there are different stations, different markers on the way to help us remember different things, different parts of the journey that Jesus would have gone through. And at station number 5, this is my favourite one, and it's not because there was a slightly grumpy looking balding man standing by the door, who's clearly grumpy because his mate's taken the only chair that was available. No, this is my favourite station because of what it represents. So at this point in the journey, Jesus is carrying this wooden beam up to the place where he's going to be crucified, and he falls, and Simon is given the job of carrying the beam the rest of the way, an innocent man just watching what was going on, just a bystander. And he is burdened with having the cross that Jesus had to carry. Now, this wasn't an act of sympathy from the Romans, taking the cross off Jesus. It was because the Romans wanted Jesus to die on a cross, not on the streets. That's why they did it. But I picture Simon carrying the cross that was for Jesus, and Jesus walking alongside him, knowing what Simon was going through, recognizing the pain, because Jesus had literally just been through it right there and was going through it. I wonder, have you walked with Jesus? It's easy to say, yeah, I know who Jesus is, but the question is, have you actually walked with him? There was no doubt in my mind, standing in that very place where Jesus stood 2,000 years before me. Jesus lived, died, rose again, ascended, zero doubt. But the question still remains. We can know and we can understand and we can recognize that these things happened. But have you actually walked with Jesus? In the passage we've just heard from, he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see." You see, the first question of walking with Jesus is about experience. The disciples had walked miles with Jesus, yet here they were terrified. They thought they'd seen a ghost. Jesus doesn't argue theology first. He says, look, touch, and see. He asks, have you actually walked with me? Christianity is more than a religion. It's a relationship with the risen Jesus. And to walk with Jesus means to have a history of him showing up in the mundane places of your life, in your kitchen, in your office, in your pain. I wonder if the disciples would have really have been so terrified if they'd truly walked with Jesus, if they truly knew him at this point. And notice Jesus shows them his hands and his feet. Walking with Jesus means walking with the one who bears scars. If you're walking with Jesus, you don't have a sanitized, pain-free life. You have a Savior who says, I've been there. There's a recognition that actually the challenges that you are going through, you're going to go through them. But you've got a God who walks with you in that pain and through that pain, and who knows how it feels. Often I wonder if we have sometimes reduced Jesus to a feeling or a memory or just a name. There might be moments in your life where you do this, where it's great to say, yeah, I know who Jesus is. But do you really know Jesus? Have you actually walked with him this week? When trouble came, did you philosophize or explain things out? Or did you actually walk with the man who ate fish and broke bread with the disciples, the risen Jesus? And when you reflect back on your life, I wonder who has dictated your steps? Who has determined your path? Is it you or is it Jesus? Walking with Jesus means to let him into the locked room of your fear, of your success, of your anxiety, of your victories, of your pain. And to say, Jesus, I need you to lead me. He is here with you and with me. So the second question after have we walked with Jesus, it's do you believe in Jesus? A number of years ago when I was younger, I lived in Bristol for a year and worked for an organisation called the George Muller Foundation. I don't know if you've heard of George Muller. If you haven't, there are a whole load of great stories about George Muller. He was a man of faith who trusted in God, who believed in Jesus but put that into action. In the 1800s, George Muller ran an orphanage in Bristol. But it was not just any orphanage. This place was run without fundraisers. It was run without government support, without appeals. It was run on faith. And one morning, the house mother came to the orphanage, came to him and said, the children are dressed and ready for school, but there's no food for breakfast. So Muller said, take them to the dining room and have them sit down. And so in an empty room with empty plates and no food, 300 children sat quietly. Then Muller prayed. Moments later, there was a knock on the door. It was the baker. Mr. Muller, he said, I couldn't sleep last night. I felt God telling me you would need bread this morning. So I got up early and baked 3 batches. Can I bring them in? As he unloaded the bread, there was another knock. This time, it was the milkman. His cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage. It'll spoil by the time I fix the wheel, he said. Could the children use some fresh milk? That morning, 300 children ate, full bellies and faith strengthened. You see, George Muller didn't only walk with Jesus, he believed and trusted in him. In this passage that we read this morning, Jesus said to them, this is what I've told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. And he opened up their minds so that they can understand the scripture. You see, Jesus is pointing them back to the fact that this is about him. This story, not just the gospel, but the whole biblical narrative from Genesis right through to the end is about him. It's about Jesus. This is about Jesus building a picture in the minds of the disciples. A picture of belief and trust. Jesus has the ability to walk into a locked room. You see, you can walk with someone physically, like the disciples did for 3 years, and still not believe in who they truly are. And it's one thing to believe in Jesus, and it's another thing to fully trust him and to allow him to impact your daily life. And I wonder, how is Jesus impacting your life? How are you trusting him? Jesus takes the entire Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, says it's about me. To believe in Jesus is to believe that history has a center point. A Christ who suffers and rises. And, you know, if we want things to be changed, if we want our lives to be transformed, we need to trust Jesus. George Muller trusted Jesus and lives were changed, lives were transformed. The disciples began to trust Jesus from this point on, and lives were changed and people were transformed. Do you believe in a historical Jesus or a living Jesus? Does your belief in Jesus transform your daily life? You see, belief means to stop trying to earn salvation. You give up running around, trying to do the right thing, and you simply learn obedience. The art of listening to the voice of Jesus. So the third question, are you responding to Jesus? As I've mentioned a couple of times, it's taken us 8 years to get through Luke. Did you know that Luke's gospel has a sequel? It's the book of Acts. Andrew was here at the other was at the other service, and he looked in fear as I the cog started to turn, and I wondered about the next 8 years, and I wondered who fancies the book of Acts. Because actually Acts is such an exciting book. It's the response that the disciples show. It's the outpouring, it's the demonstration of everything that went on through those 3 years that we read about, or 3 years more, the life of Jesus through the Gospel of Luke. Acts is how the transformed disciples live life. And it should be an encouragement to us as to how we can live life. Fun fact, Luke and Acts are actually approximately the same length. Did anyone know that? They're the same length because Luke, being the man that he was, decided that he wanted to write his books on a single roll of papyrus, 31 feet long. That's quite long. So Luke and Acts are written on a 31 foot long piece of papyrus, and therefore are about the same length. Top tip for Luke, he could have just written a bit smaller. It's a bit late for that top tip, by the way, about 2,000 years, but Acts is the story of how the disciples responded to Jesus. And actually, this moment was so crucial right now, wasn't it? Because previous to this, the disciples are there in fear in a locked room. They don't want to move. They don't want to go anywhere. They're not the same disciples that we read about in Acts. Totally transformed because of this moment. The disciples went from hiding to hope, from fear to fight. 28 chapters of Luke full of the disciples, of what the disciples did after Jesus ascended. What changed? Well, they walked, they believed, and now they are ready to respond. The disciples met with the risen Jesus and were filled with power. They were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that same power that is on everyone who believes. We have that same power in us. The disciples knew what they had to do. So they knew what their mission was. They knew what was to come next. Jesus was really clear. From Jerusalem to the world, tell everyone the good news. This is why the gospel spread so quickly. This is why they wrote down the stories the way they did. to get the word out there, to get this exciting story out there. And the disciples knew how to achieve this, full of worship, obedience, and joy. That's what we have in those last few verses. As Jesus ascends to heaven, we don't see fear-filled disciples, but we see worship-filled disciples. How are you responding to Jesus? If he is risen, I don't believe you can respond with indifference. If this story is true, we can't just sit back and do nothing. We either reject Jesus or we worship him. That's our response. We cannot choose to be lukewarm. There is no middle fence. You're either rejecting him or you're worshiping him. And the ascension critically means that Jesus is reigning. And our response is not sorrow. It's not that locked room experience, but it's mission. It's a call to action. It's an opportunity for us to respond, to do something. The disciples went from hiding behind locked doors to living in the temple with joy. What changed? They answered these three questions. Have we walked with Jesus? Now, it may be for you that you feel like you don't even know Jesus. Yeah, you've never had that chance to walk with Jesus. And I want to encourage you this morning, if that's you and you felt challenged, to begin a journey of walking with Jesus. Don't leave this place without having spoken to someone. Pray with someone. Talk to someone about this. If you're a believer and you're thinking, you know what, I've not really walked with Jesus. I know who he is, I understand him, I get it. But I don't feel like I've really walked alongside the risen Jesus. I want to invite you to touch the scars of the real Saviour. To walk with Jesus. The second question that the disciples answered was, do we believe in Jesus? Do we really trust him with everything? I want to encourage us to let scriptures open our mind to the necessity and the centrality of his life, death, and resurrection, and to make Jesus the center of our lives as well. To trust him fully. And then thirdly, are we responding to Jesus? Are you still locked in the upper room of fear? Or are you in the temple of worship, clothed with his power? You see, Jesus is not in the grave. He's not hiding in the shadows. He's real. He is living. He is the ascended King. And today he walks through locked doors, the locked doors of our hearts. And I encourage you to open your mind to him. Let him bless you and let him send you. So what do you need to do? Do you need to start walking with Jesus? Do you need to believe in the risen Saviour? Or do you need to respond to him today in worship and praise? After the service, there's going to be some people in this corner to your left who would love to pray with you. So if anything has resounded with you this morning, I encourage you to go and pray with them. Don't put it off. We will have teas and coffees later, but teas and coffees can wait. And that's coming from someone who's slightly obsessed with coffee. There are more important things. And if God is working in you, you need to allow him to do that now. So I encourage you, speak to someone. Pray with someone. Respond to him. I'm now going to invite the band to join me at the front as we sing our final song, King of Kings. Now, this song is a reminder of all that Jesus has done for us and a challenge for us to respond to him. Just before we sing, let me pray. Lord Jesus, we have walked with you today through your word. Forgive us our doubts. Open our minds to believe. Send us out as witnesses of your forgiveness. Amen.